Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keith, Real Talk. Oh, my bad. You go.
Yo. Lee and Keys, Real Talk. We are back. What up, Keys? How you doing, bro?
Man, I'm out here. My bad. I screwed up the intro.
Oh, man. It's all good, man. So how you been, man? It's been a while since we talked, man. How you been?
I've been good, bro, you know, just like the rest of us, working hard, you know, staying positive, doing my thing, you know, nothing crazy.
Okay. Let's jump right into it, man. Hey, man, I've been doing good, man, just hanging in there, moving into my new house, just getting reacclimated with being on the East Coast. But, hey, man, let's jump right into it, man. Look, a lot has happened since our last show. Gotta ask you this. How'd you feel about Oliveira versus Gaethje?
That was an incredible performance. I was blown away. Oliveira, I have to say, he did what I told people he was gonna do, man. I told people that was, you know, I told people you that was kind of a mismatch. I told people that. It's like, you know, I was saying that for a long time. And I told people that, you know, was saying Gaethje, I said, look, even Gaethje knows that, you know, even he's unsure if he can do what he wants to do in there, you know, just like Poirier was. It's like, yeah, you guys are talking that talk, but the fans can't fight for you, you know. And Floyd Mayweather said that, you know, once he said the fans can't fight for you. It's like, no matter how popular you are or how much belief your fans have in you, that's not enough, because you have to go in there and fight. It really comes down to the fighter at the end of the day. And is Gaethje a better fighter than Oliveira? Absolutely not. You know, he's definitely not. He's a few notches below Oliveira, a few notches, and probably a good handful, probably 4, 5, 6 notches below. So, and that's what we saw in that first round. You know, he actually, for the naysayers, he outboxed Justin Gaethje. Let's be real. He outboxed Justin Gaethje by a long shot. And he actually knocked him down first, and then choked him out in the first round. So for people saying, like, oh, he's only a submission guy, that's all he has, it's like, well, clearly you're wrong. Clearly you're wrong, because he got knocked down multiple times. Clearly he has a chin. He comes right back. You know what I mean? He comes right back, and he outboxed Gaethje, knocks him down, and then jumps right into a choke. Gaethje escapes one, and he gets him with the second one. It is what it is, man. Oliveira's, you know, we're witnessing greatness right now, and people got to stop turning over and putting respect on that.
Exactly. And I think the only thing I'm disappointed in is that he didn't make weight. He gets the fight on. He gets the fight for the belt again. I look at it as a title defense in my eyes. But, Oliveira, come on, bro. As a champ, you got to make weight. All right, Keys, next thing up. Your Honor, man. Your Honor, your J-Check retired. What's your thoughts on that?
Joanna, I mean, that definitely surprised me. I definitely didn't expect her to do that, but once she explained it, you know, I respect it. And, you know, said she wants to start a family, and, you know, she has other things that she wants to do with her, you know, going forward. So that's fine. You know, I forget who it was that said it, but there's a retired fighter, you know, that I forget who exactly. Was it DC or Forrest Griffin? Somebody said it. And they were like, if you're starting to think about, okay, maybe I should hang it up, then you probably should. Or maybe I've been Dana White that said that. And he's like, once you start to have those thoughts, that's probably the right time, you know? And, yeah, if that's where her mind is at, then, you know, you probably just go with that feeling, you know? All the power to you. She had a great career, you know, multiple-time world champion. You know, she broke records. I'm pretty sure she holds some of the highest records as for, you know, female UFC. So, yeah, definitely a Hall of Fame fighter. You know, she'll definitely be inducted to Hall of Fame pretty soon. So, yeah, congratulations, you know, and much respect to that.
Yeah, man, Joanna, man, when she was a champ, she was out there finishing people. She looked good when she was a champ. I think after she lost the belt, you know, she changed camps and it just seemed like she couldn't find her way again. You know, definitely got a top three all-time fight in UFC, her first fight against Wally Jane. Just wishing her luck, man. It's good that fighters now can make money outside of just fighting. That establishing a brand can lead to you not depending on fighting to be your main bread getter. So, yeah, congratulations to Joanna, man. Next up, Keys, real quick. The Shevchenko fight. Did you see it? Did you think she won?
I didn't see the Shevchenko fight. No, you have to tell me about that one. How was it?
I thought she lost the fight. I thought Talia did a remarkable job in there. The thing that happened to Talia was they had an accidental headbutt that caused her eye to swell up and close. Actually, there wasn't any damage that Shevchenko did. I think the judges scored the fight as if Shevchenko was doing damage. Well, actually, the damage was caused by an incidental headbutt. I think Talia should get a rematch. The one judge that scored it 4-1 needs to be stripped of ever being a judge again. Once again, you got shady judging. Two of the judges, I thought, got it right or close to being right. But I thought it should have been, if anything, a split decision. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, we always say, and me and you don't agree with it, they say you got to beat the champ to be the champ. And sometimes it seems to play out a lot in the octagon. That's what I'll say on that. Lastly, Keys, real quick, our boy DJ, Demetrius Johnson, getting another shot at the flyweight champion and won. Do you think he gets it done this time against Moraes?
I mean, I'll say this. When he fought him the first time, I was like, yo, guys, like I remember telling a lot of people that I knew, and like I don't really always do that. Like that's kind of unlike me to like always say, yo, this is history. This is a crazy, crazy fight right now. This is like, you know, for the flyweight, one of the biggest flyweight fights ever. Not like, you know, it's not in the UFC. This is like for MMA. Like this is a historic flyweight fight right now. So that first fight, I'm like, this is crazy. And I think it was free on TV too, so I watched it. And I felt like Moraes definitely, you know, seems a good amount bigger than him. And I think DJ has to – I think he can win it, you know. I'd say I'm probably 50-50 on it right now, which is fine because I'm pretty sure that fight's in August. And so I got time to, you know, figure out, like, definitive. But I'm going to say 50-50 on it right now, on him winning it or not. I think he can win it. Depends on how he goes about the fight. He just fought Rod Tang, and we saw how he was able to, you know, they had, like, the mixed rules fight, so it was half, half Muay Thai. Yeah, I think it was half Muay Thai and half MMA rules, or it was half Muay Thai and half jiu-jitsu or something like that. And so DJ survived the first round, I believe, versus Rod Tang. And then the second round, he was able to, you know, get the fight to the ground and submit Rod Tang. And that was crazy. That was absolutely massive and crazy. Rod Tang is scary, scary man. And so for him to, like, when they even announced that fight, I was like, oh, man. But I knew that the mixed rules, I was like, okay, like, DJ's going to have, you know, an opening. If he can work the fight the right way, go about it in the right way, you know, he can, and not try to, you know, not try to stand there and, you know, outbox a guy that, you know, is a killer on the feet. I think that's what he kind of has to take that into the Adrian Moraes rematch. He has to go in there and be like, okay, like, this dude, you know, he knocked me out before, and, you know, he's very dangerous on the feet. Plus, he has the size advantage. Dude's pretty big compared to DJ. So, I think, and I'm pretty sure Moraes is a weight class above. I'm almost positive. So, I think he has to go in with the right mentality. If he could go in like, all right, let me weather the storm, you know, in the striking, and then get the fight to where, you know, I'm the dominant fighter. Get it to where I'm, you know, most comfortable, and get him out of there. You know, finish him. Like, I think if he could go about that fight in that way, not like the last one where it was like, I felt like the first one he was just trying to, you know, stay on the feet and strike with Moraes. Like, it's like you don't want to, you know, try to beat a guy at his game. Like, you don't need to beat guys at their game. You need to get through their game and then get to your game. That's what you got to do. So I think it's 50-50.
This fight worries me, Keys, because of Moraes' reach and his height. If DJ can somehow find a way to take him down and make him fight off his back, I think that's the only chance DJ has of winning this fight. Moraes, man, it would just seem like DJ just couldn't get off against him because of his reach and his height. So I like the fact that he's going back in there against this guy. I want to see what changes he make in his game plan. But, you know, that's why he's one of the greatest, dog. I think if he can pull out this win, it'll justify his GOAT status. But I think if he loses, it doesn't change what he's ranked at in my books. But it just means that this guy has his number. And sometimes certain guys have your number. Just like we're going to get into our predictions about people having people's numbers. So, hey, but let's jump into it, man. On UFC 276 this weekend, what stands out to you about this card, bro?
I think what stands out to me is how it's pretty much you have two main cards up. You have two main cards up there. You know, that prelim card is pretty much, you know, you could put that up, that prelim card, as the main, you know, that's basically like a main card for a fight night, for like a good fight night, you know, that prelim card. And then you have that, so you're watching pretty much the main card for a fight night, and then you're watching, now let's watch another good main card for a pay-per-view. It's like doing that back-to-back. That's kind of what stands out to me about this card. You know, it's not about any one fight. It's just the quality of fights that they were able to put together is amazing. Like, the fact they've got, you know, Robbie Lawler versus Brian Barberena, like, that's going to be a banger, man. That's going to be an absolute banger. And, like, that's just, like, one example. Like, there's many fights that you could say, this is going to be a banger. Like, there's many fight of the night, you know, candidates on this card. Like, incredible.
I mean, I'm just looking at it. And on the early prelims, you got Uriah Hall. You got Jessica I versus Macy Barber. And you got Jessica Rose Clark all on the early prelims. And the fight, Jessica Rose Clark is going against Juliana Stolarenko. Stolarenko can really go. I like her. And, man, the early prelims tells you that this card is super deep. Because based on name value, none of these fights will probably be on the prelims. Man, we got Brad Tavares against Duplessis. Ian Gary's on his card. Donald Cerrone and Jim Miller. Brad Riddle versus Jalen Turner. This card is super, super deep. I normally don't watch the early prelims. But I'm probably going to have to watch the early prelims on this one, man. What fight do you have your eye on? What fight or fighter are you going to have your eye on this weekend?
Man, I mean, I really like Jalen Turner. He's somebody that I've been enjoying his fights, you know. I feel like since he got signed to the UFC, I've been enjoying his fights. So I like that he's on there. I forget who he's fighting, but that's definitely one that I'm looking forward to.
He's fighting Brad Riddle.
Okay, yeah. So that one, I'd say Brad Riddle and Jalen Turner, that's probably, at least for the prelims, that's the one that I'm really looking at right there. And then after that, and also, by the way, win or lose, Brad Riddle you got to fight Bobby Green after this, so you don't get to duck
that.
Sir. Bobby Green, I'm not sure what happened with him, but he, you know, fell off the card, and now who is he? What's his name is going to fight Cowboy? So, you know, he's a lucky man that he's not going to have to fight Bobby Green, so, you know, you could be thankful for that. But Brad Riddle, win or lose, you got to fight Bobby Green after this. And that's just what it is. And if you don't want to fight him, have Bobby Green fight Jalen Turner after this. I like him fighting either one of those guys. But I've been wanting the Brad Riddle and Bobby Green fight, so that's the one I prefer. But, you know, if he's scared, then it's understandable. We can just have – I know Jalen Turner will be game to fight Bobby Green. That's a banger too. So it is what it is.
Yeah, man. I got my eye on Pedro Munhoz, man. Pedro Munhoz, a couple years ago, me and you was talking about him as possibly being, what, the bantamweight champion? And, man, have the mighty have fallen. Pedro Munhoz is taking on Sean O'Malley this weekend. If this was a Pedro Munhoz of a couple years ago, I'd be like, man, Sean O'Malley is there for his first tough fight. But for some strange reason, Pedro Munhoz has just completely fell off. I want him to turn back the hands of time this Saturday to remind me and you, Keys, of why we consider him a contender back in 2018-19. I have my eye on him. I want to see, can he put on a solid performance against Sean O'Malley? Can he make Sean O'Malley work? That's who I got my eye on this weekend, Keith. All right, man, let's jump into it, man. We got a lot of fights to talk about. Do you got an upset special this week, Keith?
No, I don't want to – hold on. Let me just get this. Before we go to the upset, let me say this. So – what I'm trying to figure out about this card, too, this is kind of one thing. I wanted to say this in the beginning of the show, but, you know, we're still early. We got time. How did we get, like, Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier? How is that the main event over possibly the best, like, the best trilogy in UFC history, debatably, you know, with Holloway and Volkanovski? How is that? How do you figure that that is a bigger fight than Volkanovski versus Holloway 3? Like, who put their, like, genius, you know, together and decided that? Like, is it only because it's a heavier weight class? Like, is that the only justification for that being the main event over this fight? Like, because there's no way Adesanya and Cannonier is a bigger fight in this trilogy. There's no way. You can't even argue. So how did this happen?
I think, Keys, the reason that it happened is because Max is 0-2 against Volkanovski. I think if they were 1-1, then maybe you make them the main event. But being that Max is 0-2, that's why I think they went with Adesanya and Cannonier as the main event. That's the only reason I come up with.
Yeah, no, I get it. It just sucks. That's all I really had. I don't think anyone has like a solid justification for that. I don't think anyone really knows. But I think it's just the UFC trying to, you know, set up, you know, the middleweight division and try to – because you can see how at the top of the card it's like they're trying to, you know, sort out, you know, middleweight fights, and they're trying to highlight, you know, they're trying to – they got, you know, all these middleweight guys at the top, and, like, that's cool. But it's just – there's no way that that's a bigger fight, you know. It's just – and there's no really justification for it. It's like, you know, the number 2 pound for pound – and Usman's the number 1 pound for pound. So basically it's like – and it's like Holloway said, you have 2 pound for pound guys, 2 guys on the pound for pound list that are fighting each other. You know, yeah, I'm pretty sure Volkanovski's number 2 pound for pound. And he's fighting Holloway. I think it's number 8 pound for pound. And Holloway was like, when else has that happened? He's like, the only other time that 2 pound for pound guys fought each other, he's like, the last one I could think of is John Jones versus Daniel Cormier, and that was years ago. He's like, this happens, you know, like, seems like once every decade, you know, you'll have two guys on the pound for pound list, you know, going head to head. These guys don't fight each other. So, really, it's like, how is it, you know, it doesn't make sense. So there's really no explanation. You know, I had to point that out. I think it's whack, but it is what it is.
Well, you know, I think me and you had the last couple of pay-per-views, we have definitely had issues with fight placement. Like on this card here, I have a problem with Robbie Lawler and Brian Barberino being on the main card when I think this Brad Riddle and Jalen Turner should be on the main card. I mean, I don't know how they come. Because there's a lot of names on this card. There are a lot of names on this card. But I think Brad Riddle and Jalen Turner should have been highlighted, should have been a highlighted fight by being featured on the main card. I would have had no problem with Robbie Lawler versus Barberina being the prelims main event, because the prelim main event basically gets you ready for the main event card. But sometimes I think it should showcase up-and-comers, get them a little bit of shine. But I think that's what they're doing with Sean Strickland versus Alex Pereira, because that's the fight that's going on before Tony, before Max and Volk. So, you know, other than that, but I think if Max and Volk was 1-1, I think it would have been, Izzy would have been the co-main, and I think Max and Volk would have been the main. But all right, man, I got to ask you, normally we go through the cards and we ask like questions about fight of the night and all this good stuff, but I got to ask you this question. We never did this. What's your upset special for this weekend? Who you got as an underdog or an unnamed fighter that's going to pull out a major victory Saturday?
Big upset. Okay. I mean, overall for this card, like, I'm not really – I mean, I definitely don't see an upset. Let me look through this. 2 seconds. Definitely don't see an upset. I mean – co-main event's pretty much a pick'em. You can't really have an upset there. Wow, the Strickland Pereira is a pick'em too. You really can't have an upset there. But damn, these are like mostly pick'em fights, man. My God.
Yeah, so Brad Riddle is the underdog against Jalen Turner.
Yeah, that's. But still, I wouldn't really think. I'd feel weird calling him winning an upset because I still think that's a pick 'em fight too. I don't really think either guy is upset worthy. You got Ian Garry on this fight. Ian Gary's fighting this guy, Gabriel Green.
Yeah, I know, right?
Jim Miller versus Cerrone. Brad Tavares versus Duplessis. I was watching something about Duplessis. I mean, I feel like most of these fights, I can kind of see which way it's going to go. But even if it goes that way, I wouldn't really call it an upset. So, I mean, the biggest upset you could possibly have would be Uriah Hall winning, because he's a +240. Like, he's, to my knowledge, the biggest underdog on the card. Him beating Andre Muniz. I'm pretty sure Muniz is like a beast too, so it's understandable. He's a -285. So Uriah Hall winning would be the biggest upset. I don't think Uriah Hall is. But I don't really think he's like a good fighter, so I don't really think he's gonna win. I'd say the biggest upset that could happen, and I think it's possible, is Cowboy Cerrone beating Jim Miller. I mean, he's a +170, and I expect that most of the, you know, viewers expect Cowboy to lose. So I think Cowboy, you know, having a great performance, and I think that would to me personally that would be shocking. But I think that's the most likely scenario, and I think that's the biggest potential for an upset.
I'm going at the top of the card, bro. I like Cannoneer. I think Cannoneer, if he can come in and be calm, fight under control, and let your hands go. I really don't think Izzy has a chin. I don't think he's been really hit, but I think this is the fight that he's going to get hit a lot. He got hit a lot against Gastelum and struggled. So I think Cannoneer can do some of the same things. I like Cannoneer, man. If I was a betting guy, this would be the fight I would bet on as an underdog winning the fight. Jared Cannoneer upsetting Israel Adesanya. It's something about Cannoneer's power and the way he's looked in his last couple fights outside of Rob Whitaker. The guy has been good. He's definitely been good. So I will look at the top of the card, Jared Cannoneer, man. So what you want to do now, man? You want to go ahead and jump in our predictions, or you want to predict the fight outside of the main card, or how you want to do this tonight, bro?
Yeah, I'd say, who we got? Early prelims, you got some situations. I'm kind of surprised they put Macy Barber on the early prelims, to be honest. That's kind of wild. I mean, plus you have the number 10 versus number 13. It's not like, you know, that's like a bigger women's flyweight fight. I'm kind of odd to me.
I was shocked by that one, too.
Yeah, that's kind of odd to me. I mean, both of them, you have Uriah Hall and Yunus, is like also like a higher level middleweight bout. I just know Uriah Hall is not really like someone that is like a popular name. But, that Iron Barber is definitely kind of weird to me. But I'd say, you know, for the sake of time, I say let's just predict all the way up, man. Let's just start with Tavares and Duplessis and just predict 9 fights. I think we got it in us.
Okay, let's go, man. Who you got? You got Duplessis versus Brad Tavares. Tavares a plus 120. Duplessis a minus 140.
Yeah, I'm going with Duplessis. I think I watched some stuff on him. Well, I read some stuff on him. My boy sent to me a couple days ago. I think it was Monday or Tuesday he sent me it. And, you know, he's a kickboxing background. I think he's a double black belt in kickboxing. So, and from, you know, what I know, Brad Tavares, he's kind of like an average fighter. He's not really all that great. You know, I feel like he's a guy that, unfortunately, you kind of put there and it's like, okay, like kind of like a gatekeeper type. I mean, he is the number 12 ranked, which is kind of surprising to me, but kind of like a gatekeeper type, not really like great at anything. He's just kind of like good at things. I think Duplessis will beat him. I think this is Duplessis's fight to enter the rankings here, and then he'll probably, you know, get that fight with Kelvin Gastelum that was scheduled like one or two times, three times now after this. Yeah, I think Duplessis will probably win, probably unanimous decision.
Yeah, I really want to pick Brad Tavares in this fight. But I like Duplessis, man. Every time he fights, I like what he does in octagon. He's very technical. He doesn't let anybody speed him up. He makes adjustments during the fight. Brad Tavares is kind of a one-trick guy to me a little bit, whereas he's basically a stand-up guy. Whereas I think against Duplessis, he's going to have to be multifaceted. I don't think he has that in this game, man. I got Duplessis winning this fight, man, probably by, I'm going to say, unanimous decision. All right, Keith.
All right.
This is a good fight, man. Ian Garry, 9-0, minus 175, going against Gabe Green, 11-3, plus 150. Who you got?
I got Ian Garry, man. I think he's on the come up. This is one of those guys. I'm pretty sure he fights out of SPG Ireland. He's another guy coming, you know, well, there hasn't been too many, but yeah, he's a dude coming out of Ireland, and I just appreciate that story. You know, I'm half Irish myself. And I need to get out to Ireland, speaking of, so I love seeing this. You know, I love seeing the boy come up, and obviously he's a talented kid. I think he wins this one. Probably go, I think, you know, I'm going to go, I want to say unanimous decision, but I'm going to go off and just say Ian Garry. I think Ian Garry's going to TKO him in the second round. I think he's going to hit him with a head kick.
I'm going Ian Garry also. I'm going Ian Garry also. I think, although I think Gabe Green is going to be a tough fight for him, I think Ian Garry is one of these guys that this fight right here propels him probably to stardom in MMA in the UFC. I think the UFC with this with the placement of this fight being on the prelims and not the early prelims, they're looking at him as being an upcoming star. So Gabe Green is a tough fight, but I'm gonna go with Ian Garry, man. I think Ian Garry gets him out of there in the third round. I'm going to go KO third round. Ian Garry defeats Gabe Green. All right, the one that you say should be might be an upset special. We got Donald Cerrone plus 170 and possibly his last fight going against Jim Miller minus 200. And Keys, let me throw this out here. Jim Miller has 50 fights. Donald Cerrone has 52 fights. Combined, they have over 100 fights in the octagon. Wow. Who you got, bro?
Wow. Yeah, these dudes, they first of all, did you have the key special? Did you have Ian Garry with the key special?
I didn't have TKO, I had KO.
I mean, that's kind of still the key special, though. Third round KO, that's close enough.
Well, I had the key special.
Damn, man, you didn't call it out. You got to call it out when you have it.
My bad.
Yeah, so
I got the key special.
They had a crazy... Yeah, I appreciate that. So they had this stat, and they said, this kind of blew my mind, bro. They said Jim Miller fought at UFC 100. He was on the card. Then UFC 200, he was on the card. And now he's about to be on the card for, this is UFC 276. And Dana White said if he's, you know, not assuming that he's not, but it's like if he's still around, Dana White said 300, I would love to have him on the card. Can you imagine? And Jim Miller is still, he's not, to my understanding, he's not that old. Like, he could easily be around for UFC 300. That's kind of crazy. I mean, I'm pretty sure I think he's in his 30s. He's not that old. So he could easily be around for UFC 300, which, imagine, guys, UFC 100, 200, and 300. Like, he might be the GOAT for that.
Hey man, that's an accomplishment, dog. He's 38.
That's what I'm saying. He's 38?
Yeah. And I want to say he changed gyms and he changed his diet. He might be the Miller brother that got sick and he had to change his diet, change his lifestyle. And basically, after he did that, he became a better fighter. So that might be him. I could be wrong, or it could be his brother.
Yeah, well, I mean, on that note, I'll say this. I got Cerrone winning the fight. I think Cowboy is going to have an impressive performance here. He's due for one. Obviously, he's on a long losing streak. Jim Miller has looked good recently. I think Jim Miller is on a winning streak. But I'm going to go with Cowboy to upset him here. By the way, Cowboy also said, I'm pretty sure, I saw a headline of him saying that he doesn't plan on retiring anytime soon. So where we were all thinking that him and Loaizon or this fight being his last fight, I mean, if he said that, he's almost definitely not retiring. So I guess that really changes the stakes. I mean, for me too, with this prediction. So I think Cerrone's going to surprise us here. I think he's going to submit Jim Miller in the second round.
Okay. I think a lot of people think it was his last fight because the way it was built up as, you know, him and Loaizon, loser leaves town fight. So a lot of people was building it up as that. But I think this is the type of placement for Donald Cerrone that he can come out and fight. You know, there is no pressure on him. There is no belt. There isn't a lot of fanfare about this fight. So these are the fights normally where Donald Cerrone comes out and show you his skills. He normally gets off in fights like this. This is a fight that I'm with Keys. If I was a betting man, I would bet on Cerrone to win this fight because Cerrone is going to win this fight. I think it goes the distance because Jim Miller's a tough fighter. I don't think Cerrone can knock him out. I think he would have to submit him like he said. But I'm going with Cerrone to win this fight, man. There is no pressure on him. He's not on the main card. There's not a lot of fanfare really around this fight. So these are the kind of fights Cerrone excels in. He doesn't excel in the main event fights. He doesn't excel in title fights. You know, he excels in fights where he's just one of the guys on the card. So, yeah, man, I got Donald Cerrone winning. I'm going to say a close, but split decision. He went all around. I think he went 2-1 in this fight. I got Cerrone. Now, this is an exciting fight, Keys. This has two guys me and you really, really like. Jalen Turner, -150. Taking on Brad Riddle, +125. So this is a really, really close fight. Brad Riddle, 10-2. Jalen Turner, 12-5. Break it down for us, Keys. Who you got?
Man, this is tough. I'm going to have to just pick somebody and, like, not, like, think too much about it because it's, like, both guys I'd like to see win. Both guys I like to watch fight. Both guys I feel like can beat each other. Both guys I think can finish each other. Ah, man, I'm happy to pick somebody. This is tough. Okay, so I'm going to go with Brad Riddle. I think he's going to win this fight. I think his stand-up will be better, and I think that'll make the difference. Jalen Turner, I'm pretty sure he's been impressive here with the submissions. He's got hands, too. Both of them are multi-talented guys, but I think Brad Riddle can do enough here. I think Brad Riddle might stop him. I think we're going with the Keys special, third round TKO, Brad Riddle. And then after that, Brad Riddle is going to call out Bobby Green on the mic. That's the next one. So Brad Riddle is going to win. Or maybe he doesn't even have to call him out because Bobby Green is already going to be calling him out on Twitter or wherever. So whatever. That's what it is. I'm pretty sure. Doesn't Bobby Green live in Vegas too?
New Mexico, I think.
Okay, close enough. He's probably going to be at the fight, so Bobby Green will probably be calling him out ringside, so it is what it is. That's the perfect storm right there. Boom.
Man, I think Brad Riddle fights Bobby Green regardless whether he wins or loses, because I think that's the next fight for Bobby Green. I think that's definitely the fight to make as far as that division. That fight has to be made. Me and Keith's been calling for Green versus Riddle probably since Bobby Green lost to who he lose to? He lost to the guy he fought on short notice. I can't think of his name right now. So, but I'm going with, man, this is tough, Keys. But I'm going with Jalen Turner, man. I think Jalen Turner can do some things in the octagon to confuse Brad Riddle. I think he can use his speed in this fight. Brad Riddle is a veteran, though. But I'm going to stick with my guns on this one. I think Jalen Turner pulls this fight out. I think it's 1-1 going into the third round. Jalen Turner turns it up in the third round, and he pulls out a unanimous decision over Brad Riddle. I like Jalen Turner. That's where I'm going. Jalen Turner.
All right, man. 2 rounds. Let's get it.
All right, man. Pedro Munhoz.
Man, this is not going to take me long. I've thought about these fights a lot. This ain't going to take me long. None of these are going to take me long. Okay. There's only one fight on the card that I haven't – one that I have thought about, but it's not enough. Me thinking a lot about it is not helpful. It's just going to have to be one that I watch. But I'm pretty sure 4 out of 5 of these, like, I can see where it's going. So, yeah, let's go. Moonhost versus O'Malley. Here we go. So, I think Sean O'Malley is going to be the first guy to ever finish Pedro Munhoz here. I think Pedro Munhoz looks good, you know, on the come up. He looked good beating, you know, a battered, you know, Cody Garbrandt. We thought, you know, he could be the champ. I think that was kind of smoke and mirrors a little bit. You know, he had a couple wins, but I think that win in particular kind of put the wool over our eyes a little bit. And, you know, he was beating a broken and bruised Cody. And, you know, we didn't really think too much about that. So I think Pedro wasn't as good as we thought he was. And he's still a good fighter, but I don't think he's a great fighter. You know, I definitely don't think he's a great fighter. I don't even know if – I don't know if he's a championship-level fighter. That's what I might say, you know. He's probably like a 10 to 15, you know, ranked kind of guy. I don't know if he's even a top 10 guy. But Pedro Munhoz, I think he gets stopped by O'Malley here. I think O'Malley's, you know, he's going to have an incredible performance here. I think O'Malley's probably, I think Munhoz will be a dog. You know, I think he'll have the good performance that you're talking about, but I think he'll have clearly lost. You know, I think he'll have been down on the cards, but he'll have had moments, you know, and he'll have stayed in there. But I think ultimately, you know, he's going down like the O'Doyles. He's going down like Joe Biden's approval rating. He's going down like Kamala Harris' approval rating. He's going down like the value of the U.S. dollar. He's going down like the amount of groceries that you can buy on your food shopping trips these days. You know, he's going down, man. And Sean O'Malley, I think Sean O'Malley is going to knock him out. Like, it's still the key special, but it's late. He'll knock him out in the third round. Probably early in the third round, I think. Yeah, I think probably the first 2 minutes of the third round, he knocked him out.
I got Sean O'Malley winning second round KO. Actually, technical knockout, I got Sean O'Malley winning. I just think Munhoz ain't the guy he was. And I think Sean O'Malley, being he just signed a new contract, I think now after this Munhoz fight, we see him fight better competition. We see him rise up, and hopefully this means that after O'Malley, after Munhoz, we really get to see him fighting some top level bantamweight. So, Sean O'Malley, second round knockout. TKO, I'm sorry. Robbie Lawler versus Brian Barina. Barina is a +105. Robbie Lawler is a -125. Wow. Okay, Keys, who you got?
I'll probably go with Brian Barberina. I really don't think that – I mean, I don't know what people were watching the last fight. When we were watching Lawler versus Diaz, like, people were like, oh, man, like, you know, that Robbie Lawler looks so good, man. That was like the classic Robbie Lawler, and I'm like, I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know, like, the game tapes, like, of Robbie Lawler. I couldn't tell you if that's the classic him or not, but I can tell you this, he looked like he was stuck in the mud in that fight. They both did. Like, that looked like two old men fighting to me, Lawler versus Diaz. I'm just trying to be real with y'all. That looked like two statues fighting, and I think y'all are just high off nostalgia, you know, saying that they look great. Neither one of them look great, you know what I'm saying? If you put either one of them in there, it's like they'll get killed versus these other welterweights. You know what I mean? It's bad for them. So I think Barberina is going to beat him down here. I think we're going to start to see that more when he's fighting a guy like this. I think Barberina is going to win. I think he – oh, man, has Robbie Lawler even ever been off before? Can you even say that? Yeah, I think
–
Yeah,
he got fought by Tyron Woodley.
But that's the only time, I think. So I think I think Barberina will win unanimous decision. I don't think he'll stop him. But I think Barberina, I think he'll beat him up good, though. I think so.
Yeah, I like Barberina in this fight also. I don't know why Lawler is favored in this fight. Just like he said, if you watch Diaz fight, He really didn't look that good. Only reason he won that fight is Nick looked worse. I mean, that's just truth be told. Nick looked worse than he did, so that's why he won that fight. If it would have been a draw, I wouldn't have been mad about that fight. But prior to the Diaz fight, Lawler had lost 4 fights in a row. Prior to the Diaz fight, he had lost 4 out of his last 5. So, yeah, his only loss by KO was to Tyron Woodley. But I think his better days are behind him. I think Barbarina is up and coming. This is a fight that he needs to win to prove that he's a upstart and that he's a force to be mentioned in the UFC, especially in this division, because this is a middleweight division. So, is that middleweight? Yeah, welterweight, I'm sorry. I like Barbarina to win this fight. I say Barbarina wins this fight. I'm going to go with the Key Special again. I think Lawler tires out probably about the middle of the second round. Barbarino comes out in the third round, puts it on him. The referee stops it. Barbarino wins third round KO, TKO. I'm going to Key Special again, Barbarino. Now, I like this fight right here, Keys. This fight is a pick 'em. We got 25-3 Sean Strickland. Going against 5-1 Alex Pereira, -110 versus -110. Who you got, buddy?
I'm going with Sean Strickland all day. I don't think, you know, everybody wants this like fairy tale setup of like, oh, this guy's, you know, knocked out Israel Adesanya back in, you know, 2008, and now he's going to come back and, you know, fight, he's going to throw 2 punches in the UFC and get a title fight and, you know, all this. And it's just like, it's almost like corny to me. Like the whole like way that they kind of set this up is almost like corny. It's kind of cringe. And it's because it's like so predictable. You can just see how they're trying to like set these fights up. And it's just like, when I can see your setup a mile away, like it's just, it's kind of corny. And it's embarrassing. It's like, it's kind of an insult to like the level that Israel Adesanya is at. Honestly, it's kind of an insult. Like, the fact you're even trying to, like, this guy is 5-1 professional MMA. Like, he's 5-1. It's even an insult to Sean Strickland. You know, he said he has 26 wins or something like that. It's even an insult to him. And I think Sean Strickland's going to beat him up good, man. I don't think he's on that level. You know, the guy's 5-1 as a pro. Like, who has he fought? You know what I mean? He fought that dude, Bruno Silva, who's tough. You know, that guy's a tough guy, but that's really it. Like, who has this dude really fought? Like, 5-1 pro, like, really? He's hardly got his feet wet. So I think Sean Strickland's going to beat him up good, man. I think I'd love to see Strickland finish him, bro. I might just have to go with that just off my, you know, excitement of wanting to see it happen. Yeah, I'm going to go with Sean Strickland, TKOing him in the second round and spoiling everybody's excitement for this fringe storyline that they're trying to do. It's an insult.
I'm going Alex Pereira, man. I think Alex Pereira, this is a fight where he can put his name not in a title hunt, but he can say that he's here. He can say this is his arrival fighter going against Charles Strickland, a veteran who can do it all in the octagon. Alex Pereira, very tough kid. He can stand up. He can take you down. I do kind of sort of buy into the soap opera of him versus Adesanya. So this pick could be because I'm buying into the soap opera, but I also think he's a good fighter. So I'm taking Alex Pereira to win this fight by split decision and a very, very, very close fight. This fight will be close and probably too close to call going into the third round. And whoever wins the second half of the third round will win this fight. But I got Alex Pereira winning this fight. All right, Keys, I got a question for you. Are we going with the people's main event or are we going with the fight card? as our next prediction?
Nah, I think we got to go the opposite, bro. I want my main event as the last one that we call. I don't want, the fake main event. Come on, man. Don't disrespect like that. Come on. You know better than that.
All right, here we go. Israel Adesanya, the middleweight champion, taking on Jared Cannonier. Izzy, 22-1, only loss coming to Jan Blachowicz at 205. Going against Jared Cannonier, the former heavyweight, at 15-5. Izzy, -470. Cannonier, +360. Who you got, Keys?
All right, first of all, I'm just going to let y'all know I'm changing my pick on the Munhoz O'Malley fight. I'm going to move it down to a second round KO or TKO from O'Malley. It's going to be an absolute decimation. Munhoz isn't even going to have a good – it's not going to look like a good performance. He's just going to have survived that long, and it's going to be absolute decimation, and that's all I'm going to say. So that's why I'm switching my pick to. And also for this fight, another absolute decimation. The cannon doesn't have a chance to win. He's drowning in the middle of the ocean with this fight. Because there's no way to fight against Adesanya technical. You can't stand there and point with him. It's like fighting Steven Thompson. You can't stand there and point with him. You're not going to be able to outstrike him. So, he can't fight technical. Like, he can't try to, take a shot here. You're not going to beat him fighting like that. And he's kind of forced to, try to blitz him. And that's his way to win it if he's going to do it. It's like some kind of blitz where it's like you're just putting the pressure on him all night. Like, he's going to have to close the distance and keep it closed the whole time. Like, that's going to be the way – that would be the type of fight I think that Cannonier would have to fight to win this. But my problem with him doing that is Adesanya is such a great counter striker. Whitaker, we saw what happened when Whitaker was kind of doing that. He kept trying to close the distance in the first fight, and then he ended up getting countered and sent to the shadow round. So I didn't like seeing him fight like that, but that, I think maybe he was emotional and he felt like he had to. Second fight, obviously, we see he corrected it. But, yeah, I think Canada will have to fight like that, and it's just that's not a winning – I don't think blitzing him is a winning game either. I don't even know how Gastelum was able to make Adesanya look like that. Maybe Canada's got some tips from Kelvin, but if not that, I think it's over for him. I think he's going down bad, and I think Adesanya is going to KO him in the very first round.
Man, this is my upset special, and I'm not going to back off of it. I think we get Anu. I think Jared Cannonier is going to find a way to win this fight. I think he's going to come in patient. I think he's going to come in and he's going to get off. He's going to 1-2 back up, 1-2 back up. He's going to make Izzy uncomfortable inside the octagon for the first time. Outside of Jan Blachowicz, who was Izzy was fighting at 205, I think Jared Cannonier has power in his hands, and he's a wrestler. He can do both. So he can make Izzy think in there. So I think Jared Cannonier, the only way he can win this fight, Keith, is he has to be dominant. It can't be close. Jared Cannonier has to be dominant in this fight. His striking is going to have to be on point. I like Cannonier in this fight. I think he wins this fight, or he should win this fight, but I think the judges get a fight to Israel Adesanya. I think the judges get Israel Adesanya this fight via split decision. Izzy is going to win rounds 1, rounds 4, and round 5. Cannonier is going to win round 2. And round 3. As much as I want Cannonier to win this fight, he's not going to do enough in the judges' eyes to win. Although, from those watching the fight, will feel like he won the fight. But Izzy wins a unanimous decision. This fight will be closer than most think. And if Jared Cannonier wins this fight, I won't be surprised. But I'm going with Israel Adesanya to win this fight. Now, to the people's main event. This comes with a disclaimer. I had Alexander Volkanovski winning the first fight easily. I had Max Holloway winning the second fight easily. I thought Max looked a lot better in his second fight. I thought he did enough to takedown defense was better. I loved the way he looked in the second fight. Volkanovski pulled it out in the second fight. I think that was one of the ones where you have to beat the champ to be the champ in that fight. I don't think Max got enough respect from the judges in that fight, but that's my personal opinion. This fight, Volkanovski 24-1. Max Holloway 23-6. Volkanovski 2-0 versus Max Holloway. Volkanovski minus 210. Max Holloway plus 175. Keys, break it down and give us a winner.
I think, honestly, this fight for me, it's so hard for me to pick because I feel like both guys, like there's many cases where you can say like, all right, this guy has gotten better. This guy hasn't really shown us anything. Like when you were going into the Usman and Covington, it was like, oh, you know, when they rematched, it was like, all right, Usman's been fighting a lot. He's shown us that he's gotten better, but Covington has only fought one fight versus Woodley, and we really don't know. Like we've seen more of Usman to know where he's at, so you could kind of figure that out. Started rewatching that fight, by the way. I'm gonna give some scores on that on Twitter soon. But this one is different because both of these guys have been very active. Holloway and Volkanovski both been very active. They both taken multiple fights in between, you know, their last fight and this one. You know, Volkanovski fought Ortega, and he fought Zombie. Holloway fought Cater, some other guy, and Yair Rodriguez. And so in the Yair Rodriguez fight, you could see him shooting takedowns. So what I think is he's trying to add. So I think in this fight, we might see Max wrestle a little bit too. I think we might see him at least make attempts. You know, I think he'll at least make attempts for sure because you were seeing him take Yair down in that fight. And what I think what he's doing is like, all right, let me add some new different weapons to my game so I can bring this in there for the third fight. I think that's where he was at. You know, I was thinking that while I was watching the Yair fight. I'm like, oh, okay, good shit, Max. He's trying to add some weapons. You know, I think that's a good thing. Obviously, Volkanovski, you know, he's known for, you know, great takedown defense. He's, you know, well-rounded guy himself. And he's shown that he's gotten a lot better. I mean, you look at him, you know, escape the submission counts versus Ortega. You know, Zombie, he just completely decimated him like, you know, we both predicted he would. And it's so tough because they both, like, obviously gotten better. So I think what it has to come down to for me is I really don't know. Like, when it comes down to, okay, Keys, be objective, I really don't know who's going to win. Like, I think Volkanovski knows, like, okay, on paper, he's beaten him twice. I think he knows how to beat Max Holloway. I do think that's true. So I could see. So I said that to my guys at work. I'm like, yo, I think Volkanovski, he might beat him again. He knows how to beat him. But at the same time, Holloway looked good in the second fight. You know what I mean? So it's, I think what it has to come down to for me is just what I might like to see happen. And I think what I would, because I don't know objectively, like, who has the upper hand, because I think they're very close in skill overall, the two of them. I think they're very close in skill. And that's why I think it's one of the best trilogies ever, if not the best, because this is a time where it's a trilogy where the two guys are so close in skill, they might almost be evenly matched. And so I think it has to come down to what I would like to see happen. And what I think I would like to see happen, what would make me happy, and even with the Volcano being, like, in my top three favorite fighters right now, to go with what I would like to see happen and what I also think pans out the best for the UFC with the 145 and the 155, and that is Max Holloway defeating Volkano and regaining his featherweight world championship. That's what I'm predicting to happen because it has to come down to just what I would like to see because objectively I just don't know. I don't know how to technically break down who has the better hand because they both look so good and they're both so closely matched. I don't know how to break this down for you. So I'd say I would like to see Max Holloway get the belt back, so I'm going to go with Max Holloway. He was talking about, you know, the fight won't go more than three rounds. I don't know if I can say that I see a stoppage in this fight. I don't know if I agree with him on that. I think it's just, you're going towards another decision here. You're going towards another 25-minute classic, and I think Max Holloway will get it. And I think he'll get it. I say Max Holloway by unanimous decision in an all-time classic. And after, what happens is Volcano looks back at it, and he's like, all right, I'm still up 2-1 on paper. So I'm just going to go ahead and do what I was going to do anyways on a win and move up to 155. And then at that point, that's the best-case scenario because Max can now have his 145 belt back and probably stay at 145 and fight, you know, there's all those matchups. And then Volcano can move up to 155, and there's all those great fights to make at the same time. And it also splits them up, so you don't have the same two. If they stay at 145, we're just gonna watch them fight over and over because they're gonna be the two best guys at 145 for a long time to come. So that is the best case scenario, is to split them up. Same thing with Adesanya and Whitaker. The best case down the line is gonna be to split them up. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. Holloway by unanimous decision in a classic.
Me and you think alike, but we go on different ways. I think I want to see Max win, but I think Volkanovski wins and Max moves up to lightweight. I think Max can be more competitive at lightweight because of his height than Volkanovski. I want to see Max get the belt back. I really do. But my heart of hearts wants to see him move up to lightweight because there are so many fights at lightweight that I would like to see him in. Max versus Islam, Max versus Chandler, Max versus RDA, Max versus Ferguson is a fight that I had as a prediction a few years ago that would happen. Maybe he gets a rematch to Conor McGregor, you know. Man, it's just, I want to see Max move up to lightweight. I just think it's a better weight class for him because of his height. I think if Volk moves up to lightweight, it's a worse weight class for him because of his height. He'll be fighting taller guys with longer reach, and he'll come in at a disadvantage. Although his striking is good, I just don't see him being as dominant as he was at featherweight. I think this fight is going to be super, super tight. I think Max striking is going to make or break this fight. Whoever can win the striking game is going to win this fight. I think Volk can't make this a striking match. He has to go back to his game plan from the first fight and take Max down, try to dominate the fight on the mat, and make Max fight off his back. But me and Keys are going different ways on this. Keys thinks Volkanovski moves up to lightweight. I think Max moves up to lightweight. Because Max loses this fight, we're going with Volkanovski to finish this trilogy at 3-0, although I think Max won the second fight. I think Volkanovski wins this fight 3-0. Max moves up to lightweight, and then we get to see Max fight guys that's basically the same style of body, same height, and that's what I want to see. I got Volkanovski winning a very, 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 very close decision. I think the first two rounds will be split. I think the second two rounds will be split. And the winner of the fifth round, the second half of the fifth round will win the fight. I'm going with Volkanovski to win this fight via split decision and still champ Volkanovski. All right. Me and Keys kind of went over on time tonight, but this was a deep card, so we want to break down a lot of fights. It's my first, me and Keys' first time jumping on since the Charles Oliveira pay-per-view. It was good getting back with my brother. Hopefully next Wednesday we can come back and we can break down this pay-per-view. Stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter at Lee and Keys Real Talk, and we'll let you know whether or not we're doing the show next week. But, Keys, you got any last words for the people?
No, man, I'm good. Enjoy the card this weekend. Hope you're, you know, you're probably as excited for it as I am. You know, I'll just go ahead and assume I'm pumped. So, yeah, it is what it is. As far as the Supreme Court, you disappoint me, and you disappoint all of us. And, you know, I can't believe that we still got men making laws about women's bodies. I'm still trying to figure that one out in my mind, but I can't seem to, you know, put two and two together on it. You know, millions of us across the country are trying to put two and two together on it, but, you know, you got people in the Supreme Court that don't live regular lives, and they clearly don't have regular families, and they haven't experienced, you know, real human circumstances, so they don't understand, you know, what day-to-day people live like, so they can go ahead and make these, you know, completely asinine decisions like that, you know, overturning things. Like, what's the point of even voting if the Supreme Court can just go and overturn anything that anyone votes on? So that's completely ridiculous. Every single one of them up there is a disappointment, and I hope that a day soon none of them are up on that board, because they don't deserve to be up there. And men don't deserve to make rules about women's bodies. So, hey, it is what it is. That's what I leave off with. Everybody stay positive, and Supreme Court can kick rocks. That's what we're coming down to.
Yeah, I totally agree. Women's choice is a women's choice. They didn't even make, like, any special provisions. Let's say the woman got raped, and she got pregnant by her raper. It's like, do you really think that woman would want to keep a baby after she was raped? No. Why would you make that a constant reminder for that young lady for 40 weeks? But, you know, a lot of these Supreme Court justices said they, at their confirmation hearings, that they wouldn't overturn Roe versus Wade. And guess what they did? First chance they got, they overturned it. So they lied. So once again, this is politics at its best, where lies are told just to gain office. And then, you know, people have to pay for it. Their constituents have to pay for it. But, you know, I got to say this. Me and my man Keys, happy to join y'all. Man, happy to have a show. I've been missing this. I can't even lie. Moved to my new house in North Carolina. I've been missing this, but it's good to jump on with my boy. Been kind of dormant on Twitter because I've been kind of busy, but I'm going to get back to doing that too. But everybody have a great 4th of July weekend. Be safe. Drink responsibly. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. And as always, Lee and Keys, we end with a peace.